The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers in his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You too go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off. And he went out again around noon, and around 3 o'clock, and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, the landowner found others standing around, and said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden and the heat." He said to them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Am I not free to do so as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous? Thus, the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. Good afternoon. You know, I don't watch much television nowadays. Anymore, my wife and I watch movies for our entertainment. But there is one TV program that captures our interest, and that's Judge Judy. Those of you who know who I'm talking about know that she's a very feisty judge on TV. And she doesn't exactly handle people very gently. So once she's rendered her verdict, if you notice, in a separate shot, both the plaintiff and the defendant go off to a side and give a comment. And one or the other almost always says something like, "She just wasn't fair." You're driving to work some morning. You're going a few miles over the speed limit. You're pulled over by an officer. You plead your innocence with him. He gives you a ticket anyway. You say to yourself, "It just wasn't fair." What is this strong sense of fairness that we feel? We feel it most often, of course, when we receive less than our expected portion. We just want what's coming to us, we think. Or at least we want the same as what's coming to our neighbor. You know, after all these years, I've come to learn a fact of life, and that is, life is not fair. You buy 40 tickets every week to the lottery, and the week's big winner turns out to be somebody who bought one ticket in his whole life. Take the case of an aged mother. She's sick, and she demands the attention of the staff at the nursing home. She needs the emotional presence of her children, but only one of the children visits her, cuts her hair, visits her every day. She protects her mother's, the last of her mother's dignity. The other siblings, oh, they might call once in a while, or they might call on Mother's Day or show up. But when the mother dies, the will is read. She's divided her estate in equal share amounts to her children. Can you hear the silent scream of one of those children? It's just not fair. When will we just stop fighting this inequality and accept the truth? Life is not set up to be fair. Not if fair means everyone gets the same thing. Some will get cancer. A few will strike it rich. Some will be born beautiful. Others will have natural athletic talent. And a precious few will be rich and beautiful and healthy, while some others will be poor, uncoordinated, and ordinary. If we could design a perfectly fair world, what would it look like? I wonder if there would be so much uniformity, so much sameness, that the essential beauty of life would be destroyed. I wonder if the diversity and uncertainty of the distribution of life's blessings makes the world much more interesting. And besides, the unequal gifts challenge the best in us sometimes. It challenges us to rise up in ways we wouldn't happen otherwise. Do you remember your last high school reunion? Some of those who seemed enviably gifted in high school didn't succeed later in life. And on the other hand, some of those who were overlooked in high school became very successful later. Some people will tell you even that life's tragedies have become occurrences for blessings in their lives. The man crippled in a ski accident found courage and companionship in the midst of suffering. The woman who with a heart attack rediscovered the value of children and her family and the joy of life. The man who was fired from his job used the occasion to write the novel he had always dreamed of writing. When life turns out unfair, what is our response? Do we try to seek the blessing hidden in the midst of tragedy? Or do we turn toward anger and curse the lack of fairness? The fact is, life itself is not fair. Well, okay. If life is unfair, we at least want God to be fair, don't we? Right. But in truth, God is not always fair either. He is generous. He doesn't always give us what we deserve, though. Can you imagine what it would be like if God actually gave us what we deserve? What about our sins? Maybe if you're like me, there might just be a few things in your past that you're not too proud of. Glad God didn't pay me much of anything for that. No, I am personally thankful that God is not fair in that regard. I'm thankful that He doesn't always pay us according to what we deserve. But more often, when we ask according to His will, He gives us more than we deserve. This is the spirit of the parable that Jesus offers in today's gospel. If we read the scripture immediately before this parable and after, we find the disciples asking about their reward for the sacrifices that they've made for Jesus. And just after this parable, the mother of James and John asked for privileged places next to the Lord for her two sons. Jesus is having to deal with people trying to jockey for position and trying to be first in line when blessings are distributed. His response, the first will be last and the last will be first. In other words, Jesus turns such speculation and aggressive positioning on its ear. To be first may be good business, and it may get you first in line at the theater, but the philosophy of look out for yourself or the early bird gets the worm is not the way the kingdom of God works according to Jesus. So he drives home the point with the story of the farm laborers. Some of the daily workers labor in the hot sun for 12 hours. Others are hired 3 hours later, others at noon. Some workers work only 3 hours. And even at the last hour, the owner of the farm is hiring laborers to join the others in the fields. Apparently, this farmer is desperate to get his crop into the barn. The workers who were hired later in the day were very fortunate indeed to have any work at all. Ordinarily, if a person wanted to work, they'd have to be there at 6 a.m. No one could be expected to be hired after 5 p.m. But in this story, the farmer does just that. And more amazing yet, when he begins the payment line, he begins at the end with those hired last and pays them the amount of a full day's labor. The back of the line erupts with high fives and back slaps and cheers. But when the front of the line received the same wage, they grumble. Surely they figured that this farmer was in an extravagant mood given the payment of those who only worked an hour in the field. How could he pay them the same amount? Though they were hired for this sum, and though they were grateful for a job when they were hired, that gratitude seemed to evaporate in the hot sun of their envy. What's their complaint? Master, you are not fair. And they're right. The farmer is not fair, and neither is God. God is generous. Like the farmer in this story, God can spread generosity with hilarity and surprise anytime he wants to. But he will not give less than he promised. No one will be cheated by God. However, he just might give more than he promised. This unpredictable, outrageous generosity of God strikes us differently depending upon where we are standing in line. But you can be sure of this. When we all line up before God on that final payday, we will be glad just to be in that line where there is backslapping and cheering and celebration. I know this. I myself will just be glad to be in that line. How about you?